I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Mike, here we sit. There's an elimination game for the Guardians, and I don't know that anybody who knew anything about baseball thought that was possible when they were 15 and a half games out. What did you think about this team when they were 15 out and a half out?
Well, they're certainly resilient. You know, I think it's probably an understatement. You know, people ask me how the heck they do it, and I say, well, the fact is that they got really hot and continued with it, and Detroit got really cold and continued with that. That's how they caught them. And that really is about the only way they would catch them being 15 and a half games out. But they stay at this bunch, they don't quit. You know, they keep coming back at it. And the fact that they've got tremendous pitching helps a whole lot.
The stunning thing, Mike, is what you just said. Okay, the Guardians got hot. You can see one team getting hot. Hard to imagine the other team getting as cold as they needed to be, and both of those things coming together at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's, you know, I'm sure it's driving the Tiger people crazy trying to understand it. But I think sometimes it's hard. It's not hard, but it's a major job of management. And I'm not necessarily saying the manager, but the manager to keep the team focused on what they're doing and being a 15 half games up at the All-Star break certainly will cause a team to want to kind of coast, you know what I'm saying, and not being as mentally on target as they should be to finish the thing off. And I think that's probably what the Tigers got caught up in. And by the time that the panic set in, it was too late. And I guarantee you they were panicking the last 2 weeks of the season.
Mike, what do you think of how the Guardians play in that there's not a lot of power? It's all about pressure, 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 pressure. Do you think that's a form of baseball that can win in the playoffs?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, in the playoffs, in the postseason, pitching and defense wins games for you. You know, you'll have a time when, you know, a team will go off offensively and score, you know, 10, 15 runs in a game. But most generally, if you watch the majority of the wild card games so far, you know, they're 1-2 run games for the most part. And that comes down to pitching and defense. You know, it's just, you know, the old truism that good pitching beats good hitting, you know, is certainly a truism that is emphasized, you know, in the postseason. So, you know, our guys, you know, they play the game the way it's supposed to be played. I mean, we don't have the offensive ability to be able to score, you know, outscore people, you know, 6-7 runs a night. You know, we're going to score anywhere from 2-7 runs a game. And the way we pitch, most times that's good enough. But they do it by playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. And they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't make a lot of mental mistakes. And that's, they're a fun team to watch because they're never out of it because they're always coming at you. And you know, I think that wears on the other team that you're playing against, you know, quite often. So, yeah, these guys, they don't know the term quit. and they certainly have proven that this year.
Former Indians manager, player Mike Hargrove joining us. Mike, I've quoted you numerous times this summer as we watched Stephen Vogt have to platoon like crazy and decide to do it that way. I remember you always saying starters are starters for a reason. And I understood that then. I understand it more now. You had guys here in Cleveland that should be in the lineup every day. You didn't necessarily in Baltimore or in Seattle at times, so you had to manage whatever you had. Stephen Vogt is managing whatever he has, I would think.
Right.
How challenging is that as a manager? You've had to do it in the past.
Well, obviously the way you want to do it is that you play the starters every day, and you worry about the only thing you worry about there is giving them the day off time then to keep them sharp. You don't see a manager start a recent call up for his first appearance of the season in the postseason with DeLauder. And you don't often see a manager that has the guts and the courage to do that. I applaud the skipper for having the guts to be able to do that. A manager has to manage to the talent of his team and not the team play to the manager's expectations, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Stephen does a great job, I think, in managing this team to the talents. You see Manzardo, get more playing time as the season came along. Schneeman gets some playing time here and there. Different guys like that he inserts in the lineup until they get their feet under him, like Manzardo has. But Kwan's going to play every day. Nader's going to play most of the time. There's guys, Jose is going to play third base every night. So there are guys that go to guys that he has in the lineup every night, but he does do a good job in inserting younger players here and there in the lineup, and they responded well to it. So I think he does a good job in that regard because he's managing to the talent of his team. A lot of unsuccessful managers, will manage one way, expect the team to adjust to his way of managing or making out the lineup. Stephen doesn't do that, which I think is a real smart way to go about it.
Former Indians manager Mike Hargrove joining us on the hotline. Grover, if we gave you this pitching staff in the 90s, I think you'd look like Phil Jackson.
That's not fair.
I think you'd look like Phil Jackson.
I'm not as tall as Phil Jackson, so there you go. Yeah, they've got a good pitching staff. The one thing that I think people don't recognize or realize when back in the 90s when we played, we had a tremendous bullpen. We really did. Now, we didn't do the job every night, but we had a real strong bullpen, and we had Hershiser, Martinez, Nagy, we had Mark Clark at one time.
Yeah.
Those were all the great guys, great talent, but they weren't number one pitchers. You couldn't put a Scooble out there every 4 days, and I think that affected us. Now, that doesn't mean that we went in there unarmed with these guys on the mound because they all did a great job. But we certainly didn't have a dominating starting pitching staff.
Mike, how do you manage an elimination game?
By the seat of your pants. the one thing that I learned early on in my first, postseason was that your decisions have to be immediate. You can't play during 162 games in the regular season. You can push a guy further than you may have wanted to, knowing that there's 158 games left in the season. You've got time to make up for whatever happens. In postseason, you don't have that time. Your decisions have to be immediate, and they have to be done, especially with your pitching staff and when to take a pitcher out and when not to. I watched Sparky Anderson manage for a long time, and they called him Captain Hook because, by the third or fourth inning, if the starting pitcher wasn't dominating the game, he went and got him, and that worked for Sparky. You have to do that, you know, during the postseason a lot more than you would during the season, and I think that's what we'll see, you know, in this game with both teams. You know, whoever wins goes on, whoever doesn't goes home. You know, they'll go to their bullpen early and often if they have to.
Guardians closer Cade Smith threw 31 pitches yesterday. Yeah. He pitched the day before as well. What's that conversation like with him before you put him into the game or even in pregame?
Yeah, that's you obviously go to him and talk to him and how he feels, and he's going to give you the answer. I'm good to go. However long you need me, I'm good to go. That's what the competitor and these guys will say. I remember back in Game 7 of the World Series in 97, we had used Mike Jackson a lot during that postseason. And we went to Mike and asked him how his arm was. He said, honestly, I've got one hitter in me. And so, you know, that's the reason we brought him in to face one hitter and get us to the ninth to go to Mesa. They'll do the same with Cade Smith. But I guarantee you, he's their closer, and it comes down to the end, and they need to close the game out. Cade Smith will be on the mound, and he'll do a good job. But that's, you know, you know they've lived with each other, you know, since mid February, so they know each other. They know the players, they know the pitchers, they know, you know, when they say one thing, do they really mean that, or are they just saying that because that's expected of them to say? You know, they have an idea of how long Cade can go, but I would be shocked. Even though he threw 31 pitches, yesterday, that I would be shocked if we get into a closing situation and he's not on the mound.
Mike, as always, love having you with us. Thank you for your time and enjoy Game 3.
Thank you, Mike.
You bet. Go Guardians.
Here they decide going into the playoffs. Our best chance to help our offense is to bring up a guy who, though highly thought of, and though if he hadn't been injured at the end of spring training, probably would have broken camp with the team and probably would be a veteran right now of at least one season in the majors, but he was injured and he makes his major league debut in the postseason.
But also, how many times have we looked at these starting lineups and saw leadoff hitter Stephen Kwan hitting second, David Fry? Wait, what? It seems the second spot, the fifth spot have always been the two that's like just a rotating...
Yeah.
You know, whomever is the hottest in that moment or whoever has the best matchup is hitting there and getting the second most at-bats on the team or getting the fifth most at-bats on the team in that day. And it's worked. It's gotten them this far. They've been really good about it. And it's, you know, we'll see where this ends up going in the same way that they've looked at the starting pitching staff. All hands on deck. They started Gavin Williams in Game 1. Tanner Bibee went Game 2. Today they decided Slade Ciccone was going to go. Came up a little bit through the season. And Stephen Vogt on, hey, how you feeling about starting him?
I feel like over the last month, Slade's been getting better. We've started to see the slider come back. We've started to see the curveball have a little more bite. He's held his velocity all year, which has been really impressive. But he's also just super hyper-focused and routine-oriented. So something like this isn't going to rattle Slade. So we really like him, the way he's going to take the ball and get the game started for us.
I like the way he pitches. I like the way he attacks hitters. I like the confidence that he shows on the mound, and we'll see. Fingers are crossed. And remember, this is the guy, you know, you traded Josh Naylor, and this is what you received for now in return. And he's done a really nice job. I like him a lot. I think you got a good player in return for Naylor. That said, I'd still rather have Josh Naylor playing first base than have one other pitcher.
I remember when they made the trade and we all looked at each other and went, Slade Ciccone. And then I did the deep dive and looked at all the nerd stuff and the pitch mix and all of that kind of thing and went, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. And then the other side of my brain kicked in and went, the pitching factory. He's going to the pitching factory. Shut up and trust him.
Yep.
And I shut up and trusted him. And they were once again proving any doubt that you could possibly have wrong. They saw something in Slade Ciccone. They altered a few things. They raised his velocity, and they made his breaking stuff better. It's the Guardians pitching factory. If you ever have a question on anybody, at this point, you may as well just throw your hands up and shut your mouth because they're right way more than they're wrong. See Boyd, Matthew. Like, they're right. They know what they're doing. They know how to do this, and they know how to do it well. Even down to the guy who'd be the long reliever in there in Joey Cantillo as well, who Stephen Vogt said, hey, that's an option, something we're going to be available with.
He's available out of the bullpen. He has been the whole series, and you know he could provide some length. So you know he gives us a length option. Obviously, this is Slade's game, and we're going to make moves accordingly.
As Mike Hargrove told us when we chatted with him at noon, how do you manage an elimination game? By the seat of your pants. Which means if something happens in the game, you can't hesitate. You got to go.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And I like the way Mike put that. If you missed that, you can go back and listen to it on our website, 923thefan.com, or on the Odyssey app. But Mike said, you know, it's a playoff game. You can't hesitate. You think something, boom, you got to go do it. And he would know. You know, Mike managed a lot of playoff games over the years, managed a lot of baseball games, 16 years as a major league manager. I give Stephen Vogt a ton of credit, Dan. I think he's done a really nice job with what it is he's been given to work with. And I don't mean that to sound negative. I know it did. His offense, let's just be fair. They've been able to manufacture some runs. Yesterday, they came up with a great 5-run eighth inning. That's outstanding. But the offense isn't great shakes. If you need any proof of that, just go look at the season stats. That tells you all you need to know.
The Yankees were able to look down the bench in game one and went, hey, Giancarlo Stanton, go in and hit up against this guy. Stephen Vogt looked down the bench in game one and went,
John Kenzie?
Valera? All right, get in there. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Again, 9 of the 15 position players on this roster spent time in the minors this year. What's that tell you?
All hands on deck.
6 of the 7 outfielders spent time in the minors this year.
All hands on deck.
It's fabulous.
It's what it tells you. It, you know, Jeff, it takes a village to raise a baseball team.
Sure does, Dan.
It takes a village to win a baseball game. And let me tell you, this game, Stephen Vogt hammered home when it came to the lineup, and especially when it came to the bullpen. It's all hands on deck.
We're not going to run anybody further than what we think is going to, you know, either hurt them or be inefficient. But yeah, everybody showed up ready to go. All the bullpen guys stopped by and said, I'm good today. And they know what's at stake. We have to win. We know we have to win today. And we're going to treat it accordingly.
The one thing about, and you, of course, and Mike Hargrove said it. He said, the bullpen guys are going to tell you what they have, and they're going to want the ball. Cade Smith's going to want the ball. Hmm? Where Stephen Vogt needs to make a decision is this, and I would think the decision is if you need a save in the ninth inning, you're going to put Cade Smith out there. Mike Hargrove thought the same thing, and certainly his opinion means a lot more than mine. But it's this, okay? You've thrown each game in this series. Yesterday, you got more than your three outs in the ninth. You were extended a little bit, and you threw 31 pitches because you had trouble in the ninth inning. How do those 31 pitches, how does the use on his arm affect, and you might think velocity, which is critical for him, more critical is movement. And, okay, so will his fastball still have the same movement?
And control.
If he doesn't want to throw the fastball, will his breaking stuff still have the same bite to it? And that's where you have to determine, and this is where they should know their guy, as opposed to, you know, those of us sitting here who don't study this stuff day in, day out. We're not looking at his pitching charts. We don't know. We don't know all the analytics. We don't know what all the highfalutin technology is showing them. How will his pitches respond with a tired arm? And let's just... It's going to be a tired arm. I mean, it has to be.
Tired legs, too.
Right.
And tired legs, because that's where all that power comes from.
How will that affect how things move?
Control is the other one when it comes to those guys. It's how much bite is on his breaking pitches and the control of everything. Because the first thing that goes when you're tired is your mechanics. As funny as that sounds, not the velocity, it's all that stuff. It's all the little things that come in there. And
which lead to velocity.
Yeah, I want to see what it looks like. I think their goal was probably like, hey, if we could like, score seven early and then not have to hand the ball to him, that would be preferred. But yeah, it's all hands on deck. And we joked about it earlier. It takes a village to win a baseball game. It takes everybody who is involved in there as well, including all of the young guys. And Stephen Kwan addressed the media, had this to say about all the young guys.
When you look around the room and you see Chase and George and CJ, how important is it to make these newcomers just feel welcome since they're part of the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned that. We had like a pitching change, and yeah, it was me, Chase, and George out there. And I was like, damn, I'm like the uncle in the outfield now, which is crazy. It came out fast. I think the biggest thing for them is just understanding that they belong here, that they got here, they deserve to be here. Not patronizing them, not trying to be like this like big brother kind of thing. Because I think a lot of guys can, they're too smart for that. You know, like they just want to act like one of the guys. They don't want to act like the young guy on the team. I think the faster you can get them to just feel like one of the boys and be on the team, I think that's the quicker they feel more comfortable and then produce and help us win games.
Stephen Kwan.
Like you and like Chase after the first inning when he drops the ball, you came together, run off the field. Like, what do you say to a guy after something like that?
Yeah, it's kind of just, you're good. Nothing, not like you got this man, don't worry about it. It's like, again, he knows he's caught a million fly balls in his lifetime. I told you guys yesterday, I think it was just the like absolute worst combo of things that could have happened, especially for a guy in his debut with the sun, the wind that's never there. And just not trying to like, just not trying to be too overbearing. Just like, it happened. I know it happened. You're going to be fine, man. Don't worry about it. Just get the next one. And thankfully there was a fly ball the next inning and he kind of got the monkey off his back. But just knowing that we're there for him, knowing that he did, errors happen, that we all believe in him and someone's gonna pick him up. And I think Tanner came in the dugout at the same point and was just, I mean, he got the three strikeouts and he's like, hey, I got you. And, Chase picked him up late in the game. So, I mean, that's what we're gonna need if we're gonna have a winning baseball.
That's Stephen Kwan, the uncle in the outfield. It's a new TV show. Well, variation on the movie. They took the movie and had to twist it a little bit. So instead of Angel in the outfield, it's the uncle in the outfield. The grizzled veteran. Yep. The grizzled veteran who just turned 27.
Yep.
And again, the only outfielder on the playoff roster who did not spend time in the minors this year.
That's amazing to think about. It is absolutely amazing to think that he's the only outfielder. I mean, goodness, probably one of three position players who hasn't spent time in the minors?
And there's six.
Is it six? Okay. Yep. I couldn't remember your number. I was just doing math off top.
Nine of the 15 position players.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and here's the other thing about the outfield guys, Dan. They were all in the minors because that's where they were playing, not because of rehab assignments.
Correct. Correct. They were down there to get better. That's the part that's crazy. And Stephen Kwan said it. I will say it from being in that building. If you want to yell at George Valera and you want to yell at Chase DeLauder, that wind was swirling inside of Progressive Field. It was weird. The flags were going one direction and the wind, like it was weird out there how swirling that wind was. So like, give the guys a little bit of a break between Valera's fly ball and then with DeLauder as well.
You're going to consult with your offensive coordinator and your front office and everything else. Kevin said it was my decision. Sure it was. Put a lot of input into that. We'll see, Dan. And what we do know is this, and not to be a smart guy, the offense wasn't working very well. First four games, they scored 16, 17, 13, and 10 points. And those numbers are burned into my brain. That's not good. It's not good enough to win in the NFL. They somehow managed to win a game against a good Green Bay Packer team by scoring 13 points. Congratulations, you stole one. And now they've got to start putting up points.
The offense was repugnant. Whatever you can
do. Oh, nice word.
Whatever you can do to fix a repugnant offense, you should do.
It's a good word.
It's unwatchable. It was horrendous. You spent the whole time wanting to throw the remote through the TV because it just hurt. It was boring. So, if Dylan Gabriel being able to run around and move means that this offense can score points, can be more creative, can work a little bit better, then do it. I'm in. Let's go.
Now, they talked about Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. For what it's worth, the Vikings are 2-2 coming into this game. All of their opponents except one, the Cincinnati Bengals with Jake Browning at quarterback instead of Joe Burrow, all of their opponents scored at least 22 points. The Vikings beat the Bears 27-24, but they lost to the Falcons 22-6, and they lost to the Steelers 24-21. So other teams have been able to put up points against the Minnesota Vikings defense, and it's a good defense. Other teams except the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a good defense, and Flores is a terrific defensive coordinator. And we'll see if the Browns are able to do it with Dylan Gabriel. What are you expecting? What are you looking for? What do you think the Browns are going to do? And obviously he said, we have enough in our playbook that we can tailor things to either quarterback.
Hope is a good thing.
Oh, here you go.
Sometimes the best of things, and no good thing ever dies.
By the way, I have to watch Shawshank anytime I'm flipping through.
Oh, so do
and there
I
it
gotta
is.
Stop.
I gotta stop at the very least and see where it is.
Yes, without question. And there are certain times where it's like, you know what, we're watching through the commercial break, at least there. I mean, if they're on the roof, you're staying through the commercial
absolutely.
Break. So, with that being said, I hope we see some quarterback rollouts. I hope we see under center. I hope we see some designed throws that are very much like you will take the ball, you will take six steps and deliver the ball right here on time and on target. I hope they give him some layups in the offense, easy plays that he is comfortable with. I hope they do everything they can to make this as easy on Dylan Gabriel to move the ball forward as possible. But more than anything, I hope, pray, and plea that they run the freaking football.
Yep.
That's where I am. Run the ball. Set up play action. Get some easy throws for your quarterback. You have a rookie quarterback. You need to make life easy on him because he's going to probably have a hard time finding the mic in a Brian at Flores defense because Flores moves everything everywhere, and it's a blank slate every time you stand behind the center.
Fred's in Cleveland. Hi, Fred.
How are you, Fred?
Hey, how you doing? I had a question, man. I'm just so curious, right? We putting Dylan Gabriel in. All right, cool. If Gabriel goes out there and can't see over the line, can't move the ball like we think he can, how do you justify when you do get to Shador this season? Because I think we're going to see him. How are the Browns going to justify getting not playing Shador if Shador, when he gets out there, looks like, okay, we may have to rethink drafting another QB next year?
Pretty easily, Fred. Just throw your hands up and go, he wasn't ready at the time. He learned a little bit more. He got a little bit smarter. He saw some more tape. He read the field a little bit better, and he was good to go.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I got a feeling that's the answer you're going to get. That's the thing.
Okay, Fred, let me twist. But I want to hear your answer. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. Like, if you were the fly on the wall, like, how would you come back if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and stinks in London, right? And you got to move to Shador. Do you move to Flacco if Gabriel stinks? Or what do you do now?
I would do this, Fred. And first of all, let me twist it for you. What if Dylan Gabriel goes out against Minnesota and looks really good on Sunday? Then you're asking the same question that you just posed about Shador, which is, well, why didn't you do this earlier? Same thing. I said this earlier. I said it when it was announced. I would do this, Fred. If in game, something happens to Dylan Gabriel on Sunday and he gets hurt, I'm going to go with Flacco. And if I know Gabriel can't go the next game, I'm going to start Shador. I'm going to give him all week to prep. I'm going to get him ready, and I'm going to throw him out there because I personally had seen enough of Joe Flacco before this season ever started to say on this show that I didn't want Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback. So if something happens to Gabriel, or if he's incredibly ineffective after a couple of games, or if he gets hurt, I'm going to start Shador because I don't need to see any more of Joe Flacco.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
Now, the offensive line is responsible for the quarterback's, most of the quarterback's success, right? Like,
a good portion of it.
A chunk of it, yeah.
Good portion of it.
All right. Now, at what point do we start blaming the line? I'll take that off air. At what point do we hold them accountable and stop saying everybody else needs to run better, catch better? We get that. But if a QB don't got time, I don't care who you put behind there. You're setting them up for failure.
All right, Fred. Thank you.
Now, I mean, I don't think you've hidden your thoughts. I don't think I've hidden my thoughts either. The tackle position has been an abomination.
Well, it's been an abomination because your two starters got hurt.
Yep.
And the two guys that you signed to be the backups, Leviston coming in late from the Rams, and Cornelius Lucas, who you signed in the offseason, aren't ready or capable of being the type of starting tackle you want.
Correct.
We'll see if Cam Robinson plays this week. If he steps in and plays at left tackle ahead of Lucas, we'll see.
And I wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
And then Munford coming in as well. So you did bring in two different tackles. We'll see who plays on Sunday. I think that might be a really interesting thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends. It's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.